For these last few weeks here, we've been diving into the book of Hebrews. And as we've been diving in, we've been getting a number of different images about who our God is and about how our God works in the world, about God's faithfulness in Christ. And we've seen images of Jesus as the exact imprint of God, bringing to mind the imprint on coins. We've heard the images of Jesus as the pioneer, one going ahead of us to prepare the way for us. And today we hear the image of Jesus as the great high priest. It says today in our Hebrews reading, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession." And so we have this image of Jesus as the high priest. And it's actually a very rich image, and so we're going to be exploring this for a couple of weeks. But as we begin to explore this image of priest, it's important to know that how we imagine and think about priests in many ways is different than the priests back in Jesus' time, what they did. The image of priest the most often probably comes to mind in our day and age. That's where we use the word the most often. So it tends to be celibate males in the Catholic tradition who lead their worship services. Within the Lutheran tradition, we have pastors, which in many ways are similar, but we don't use the word priest. Instead, in the Lutheran tradition, we use the word pastor oftentimes. But that's what comes to mind oftentimes if you talk about priests in our day. But back in Jesus' time, what would come to mind would be the Jewish priests. And the Jewish priests, while similar to priests in our time, had many religious functions. The religious function of the Jewish priests were a little bit different because a Jewish priest's primary function was to offer sacrifices for the people. So the people would bring their sacrifices to the temple, and then the priest would offer the sacrifice, and the priest was the only one who could approach the altar. And so the role of priest really was to be a mediator between the people and God. And so this role of the priest would be to bring the people before God, bring their sacrifices to God. And so that was the role of the priest. They also had other religious functions within their tradition as well at that time, but the primary function was to offer sacrifices. So when we hear then about Jesus as the great high priest then, we have an image then as we are kind of using those Jewish images of priest as one who then is a mediator between God and the people. And that's what we hear in even scripture today in that verse we just heard about, that this great high priest has passed through the heavens. So this great high priest, Jesus, has brought the people up to the heavens to God. And so this great high priest is bringing the people to God. And we understand Jesus to be one who is fully God and fully human. And so Jesus is bringing us to God. And yet, this great high priest is not only bringing us to God, but actually is one of us. And so we hear a little bit further that it says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are." And so Jesus as the great high priest is one of us who can sympathize with our weakness because Jesus is one of us, has experienced all that we have experienced and has sympathy for our weakness. But I'm not quite sure that that word sympathy is exactly the correct word to be using in this context, how we understand that word sympathy. Because many times when we think about sympathy, at least I know for myself, what often comes to mind are sort of sympathy cards, right? When you go to the store, there's the birthday cards, the anniversary cards, and there's the sympathy cards. And the sympathy cards are always cards that you mail to people who had someone in their family die. So then when you get a sympathy, so when we think about sympathy, oftentimes we think about, you know, someone is going through an extremely difficult time. And so we want them to know that we're thinking of them and that they're not alone, that we care for them. And so we send a sympathy card. Oftentimes, though, that word sympathy sometimes can even have negative connotations. So a lot of times we think of sympathy having positive connotations, helping to support each other, but it can even have negative connotations. And as I was reflecting on the word sympathy, I was reading a little bit of a preview of an upcoming book. Some of the young adults, and maybe some of the adults in this congregation, have read the Percy Jackson series, which talks about Greek gods and about how Percy Jackson is a demigod, half Greek god and half human. Well, there's a new series coming out about Norse gods. So I know all of you are interested in Norse culture. So yeah, Rick Riordan, the author, has a new series coming out about Norse gods. And so the hero of this story is Magnus Chase. And we just hear a little bit about him in this preview. The book does not actually come out until October 6th. So in this preview, we just hear, and just briefly, about who this Magnus Chase is. And we learn that he's a 16-year-old homeless youth who's been living in Boston. So he's introduced himself a little bit, but he says, "By the way, I've been homeless for the past 2 years. Some of you might think, oh, how sad. Others you may think, ha, what a loser. But if you saw me on the street, 99% of you would walk right past me like I'm invisible. You'd see me and then you'd keep on walking. Whatever. I don't need your sympathy. I'm used to being laughed at, and I'm definitely used to being ignored. Well, let's move on." And he continues to tell his story. But Magnus Chase doesn't want anything to do with your sympathy if you saw him on the street. So for him, your sympathy is not a positive thing. It's actually an extremely negative thing if someone has sympathy. And many times we'll actually hear people say this, you know, "I'm okay, I don't need your sympathy. I'm all right, I got this covered." And so many times when we think about sympathy, it can kind of have that more positive, like we're trying to support each other, or even kind of a negative, like, "Don't need you to feel bad for me, I'm okay." But really, that's not what the scripture is speaking about when it talks about sympathy. So when we talk about sympathy in scripture, the word has a little bit different meaning. The word actually comes from two parts of a word, sim, meaning with, and path, feeling. So this is with feelings. So with feelings. So you're feeling with someone. When you have sympathy for someone, you're feeling with them. In our time, though, a different word that we use, it's a more current word, it's only been around for probably about 100 years, would be the word empathy. And that's probably more what they were talking about in Scripture. Back in Jesus' time, they didn't have that word empathy. But the word empathy is one that we use instead to talk about when someone has actually had the same experience as they've been there. So kind of the way to think about that might be like you have empathy if you've actually been there and had the same experience. You have sympathy if you haven't been there before. And so when we talk about Jesus as the great high priest, I think what we're really talking about is not this sympathy, but instead is empathy. That Jesus has come as one of us. This great high priest can have empathy for us in our weakness because this one has come who is one of us, who has in every respect been tested as we are, in every respect experienced all that we have experienced. And we hear even more deeply about this as it talks a little bit more in the scriptures a little further on in chapter 5 verse 7. It says, "In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears." And it brings to mind these images of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to God and crying out to God. Crying out to God as Jesus is facing his impending crucifixion and death, and crying out to God, "Take this cup from me. Why me, God? Let's try something different. How about plan B instead?" It's the same way many of us have felt as we faced trials, faced things that come to us in our life, pain and difficulty. We say, "Why me? How about something different?" Jesus has experienced those same feelings. Jesus has experienced feelings of isolation and desertion as we hear that all of Jesus' followers fled and left him alone as he was arrested. That Jesus walked to that cross all by himself. The crowds were all there to support him in the good times, but when the bad times came, Jesus was all alone. How many times have we had that same experience in our lives? When difficulties come, we feel like no one really understands. No one is really there. Jesus has experienced pain, physical pain, as many of us have experienced physical pain, as Jesus hung on the cross in agony. Jesus has had that feeling as he's hanging the cross of not only feeling abandoned by his friends, but even abandoned by God. As he cries out to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" Feeling completely alone. Jesus has come as the great high priest and can empathize with all that we experience because Jesus has gone through it all, experienced it all. It's not just sympathy, feeling with, but true empathy, one who has been there. And truly, when one has been there, it's a whole different kind of support that we experience. Many times we'll experience this as we are going through difficult times, or maybe even just sort of normal life trials. We find that we're drawn to people who've had similar experiences. It may be in times of grief that maybe we're drawn to a grief support group or others who have been through that same kind of loss. Maybe it's in a group such as Alcoholics Anonymous, others who really struggle with those same temptations, just as you struggle. Maybe it's in parenting groups, helping to support other parents, saying, "I've been there." It can be in caregiver support groups, all different kinds of groups that we can gather in or other people we're drawn to who've really been there. And many times that is so much more helpful to us as someone who has actually been there. I know as a parent sometimes I feel as if I may be going crazy. And I will talk to other moms and I'll say, "I can't believe I just did this," or "I can't believe I just said this to my kids." And they'll say, "I did the same thing." And then I feel better that I'm not the only one who does that kind of stuff. And so it helps you to know you're not the only one. And that's the same for us in Christ, that God came down as one of us because he can say, "I've been there. You're not crazy. It's just like that. I know." One who is truly empathetic to us and with us. God sends his son Jesus as the great high priest, bringing us to God so that God can experience all that we have experienced in Christ. But then we find out that it's not only so that one can be there and say, "Yeah, I've been there too. It was bad. Real bad," but that instead also can help to bring us through. Because it tells us in Scripture, it says that we can then approach the throne with boldness. We can approach the throne with boldness because Jesus can empathize with us. We can come before God with all of our needs, with all of our troubles and our sorrows and all of our joys. We can bring them before God and approach the throne to receive God's mercy and grace. That Jesus, the great high priest, brings us before God, encourages us and gives us confidence to come before God so that we can be renewed in our life of grace, that we can be bold to come before God, bringing all that we are, all that we experience, and bring it all to God, all before God's throne, knowing that God then will help to bring us through, to bring us through the difficult times, to bring us through, to bring us a life of grace and mercy. Because truly, that is ultimately what God desires for us. To live lives full of grace and mercy, forgiveness and love. And so this is why God and God's faithfulness has sent the great high priest, Jesus, to come, to intercede, to be a mediator, to bring people to God. To bring our needs before God, one who has suffered like us, to bring us truly into a life of grace, love, and forgiveness. Thanks be to God. Amen.